Well, good morning. It is Thursday, and it is 11:06, and that means time for Perspectives here on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You can also give us a connection via telephone, which is 414-1234. If it's long distance from you to Tallahassee, it's 800-926-8809. We got an email. That's perspectives@wfsu.org. Hey, we got a Twitter account, too. Are we contemporary or what? All the cutting-edge communication technologies. And that Twitter handle is at WFSU Perspective. And we also have an app, and we can talk a little bit about that, too. We've got all kinds of good stuff. You know, a lot of folks make a point of avoiding the Florida Capitol for whatever reason. I can't imagine why. But if you do stop by this week, you're going to see thousands of little cutout hands hanging in the rotunda. It's Children's Week at the Capitol, and there's lots of speeches and media events and all that kind of thing going on. And it's all focused on what's good for kids, especially low-income and other children who need help with learning and health care and all these other things that are so vital. So in honor of Children's Week, we will have a special guest on Perspectives this morning in just a moment who will be telling us about all kinds of things to help kids get up to speed when it comes to one of the most important parts of their lives, which is learning and the reading that makes learning possible. And that person is Courtney Garcia with the Reading Pals Initiative through the United Way of the Big Bend. She's going to be joining us momentarily. But we also have one very significant event coming up. Maybe we should say like bearing down on us like a 14,000-ton freight train coming down a mountain grade without brakes. Huh? You like that metaphor? Well, that's the yearly April 15th federal income tax deadline. And if you have not yet prepared your return, you're dead. No. There is still hope and help for you. And it's available through the BEST program, which is also under the auspices of the United Way of the Big Bend. And its director, R.J. Gillum, joins us here. Hey, R.J.
Hi, Tom.
It is so good to have you on here. Tell us about the BEST program. And I will lean back because, in full disclosure, my wife and I availed ourselves of the BEST program when we had our taxes done this year. And I'll tell you about my experience later. But I want you to talk a little bit about how this whole thing – how did the United Way get in the tax preparation business?
Perfect. About 10 years ago, the United Way was just looking at some ways where they could collaboratively work with the agencies and even non-United Way agencies, anyone in the human services community, to supplement the work that they do. And if you remember 10 years ago, you know, people were really struggling. The economy was bad. So the BEST project, BEST is an acronym, stands for Believe, Earn, Save, Thrive. There are many United Ways all over our state and country that do this work. We call it financial stability work. And we exist to work with our agencies just to make a better quality of life for people here. If you think about it, just like with literacy that Courtney's going to talk about later, financial literacy, it's an equalizer. It doesn't matter how much or how little you have. You want to know about your assets. You want to learn to protect your assets, learn about saving, have a good relationship with the bank. So this is an internal initiative of the United Way that works with our agencies. Say, for instance, we've done budgeting classes for Capital Area Community Action Agency. Our biggest program that we're talking about today is the VITA, and VITA is Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. This is the ninth year where we in this community prepare taxes for free for people that we call low to moderate income, people who are just trying to save a little money. Maybe you can't afford to go to a professional, reputable tax preparer. So we have volunteers that are trained by the IRS who work at various sites in this community, and they prepare your taxes for free.
That is such a deal, but it also may bring up the question for some folks that, okay, if it is free, you get what you pay for, and you say IRS certified. Well, yeah, they probably went online and took a little 15-minute course or something, and then they are going to hold my financial life in their hands. Are you crazy? How qualified are these folks, really?
Oh, very qualified. It's much, much more than 15 minutes. We have classes that we conduct at various places. us in the community, many of them are at the United Way. We are lucky to be able to use two different bases. One of our huge partners is the AARP. They've been doing tax aid longer than we have been doing VITA. So we partner with them, and they run sites in this community as well. So we have a great deal of retired people, most of whom are financial professionals, but we also have talented students. So we have students from FAMU, FSU, TCC that are all maybe majoring in accounting, some of which are master's in accounting students. We have law students from FSU who are taking classes in tax law, and they go through a minimum of, it probably takes a minimum of 10 hours to get certified for this program. And we also have a lot of safeguards in place, one of which is two volunteers prepare every tax return. One does it, and then another one reviews it. So we have quite a few safeguards. It's very important to us that this is a professional program. We treat our clients as clients. You know, even though it's free, we know that you're coming to us for a service, and we want to do a great job.
You said there were multiple places where people can find the tax preparation service. So you have a comprehensive listing on the—
Yes. You can go to our website, which is thebestproject.org, and we also have a fantastic resource in this community called Big Ben 211. So if you forget websites or you don't have access to the internet, all you have to do is pick up your phone and call 211, and they can direct you to a site. We have sites in Gadsden County, Leon County, we're in Madison County, we're in Taylor County, because the United Way of the Big Bend operates an 8-county region. The AARP is all over the state, so it doesn't matter where you are. If you're able to hear this, we can find a VITA site for you.
And you've also got, I believe, the ability to do not just the simple 1040 EZ, but mm-hmm. you can do all the deductions and all that
right.
kind of thing, a pretty complex.
Right. Our VITA sites that are specifically just United Way volunteers, we do current year basic tax returns for people who make $50,000 or less annual income. We have an online program that's free. If you don't want to come in and have a volunteer do it, we have an online program, as long as you don't make more than $57,000, that you can find on our website called My Free Taxes, which the great thing about that is there's 1-800 number. So if you do run into some problems, you can call and get some live assistance from some tax professionals. That's through our United Way Worldwide, and we have some other partners like Walmart. But we have the AARP sites where their volunteers are trained all the way up to the most advanced level, and they can handle some, you know, pretty complex situations for you.
So for those of us who have not filed yet, we are not doomed. We won't have to go to prison.
You're
can get it taken care of in the next couple days.
You're not doomed. Yeah, we have plenty of places. We actually have, we've partnered with Catholic Charities of Northwest Florida, and we will be all day tomorrow at the Renaissance Community Center, which is on Virginia Street from 10 to 3. You don't need an appointment. You can just drop by. But any of our other sites that are already open on Friday, Saturday, and Monday, feel free to drop by. If you need an extension, you come to us before the 15th. We can also help you file for that so that you can get your taxes done before the extension deadline in the fall.
Yes, which is a very good thing. If you're going to be late, you don't. They will find you.
Yes.
The IRS knows where you are, for crying out loud. That is the best program under the auspices, the United Way of the Big Bend, and its director, R.J. Gillum, here with us on Perspectives. And we are also joined now by Courtney Garcia, Program Coordinator for the Reading Pals Initiative, also through the United Way of the Big Bend. Thanks for making it, Courtney.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell us about Reading Pals. What's that all about?
Reading Pals is a phenomenal program. It's actually a very unique collaboration through United Way of the Big Bend, as well as particularly Leon County Schools is our big community partner locally, as well as FSU. It's actually a grant program that Carol and Barney Barnett, Carol is the daughter of the founder of Publix, based out of Lakeland, and about 2 years ago now, looked around our, you know, beautiful state of Florida and said, early literacy is a problem. It's a problem for our entire state. And unfortunately, we are not trending in the right direction. And so her and her husband wanted to personally do something about that. And so they actually invested $3 million of their own money into United Ways throughout the state of Florida through a 3-year grant called Reading Pals. And United Way of the Big Bend was fortunate enough to receive received that grant last year, and so it will be a three-year program. And so we've been working with Leon County Schools last year. And in fact, I just came from a meeting with them this morning where they are committed to staying on board next year. And this past year, we recruited over 200 community volunteers. These are people in the workforce, people who are retired, people who have a passion and a love for children and early literacy, to read one-on-one with children. The grant didn't speculate if it was one-to-one, but the max was a 1-to-3 ratio. We felt that it was very important to allow kids to keep them with that 1-to-1 ratio for reading. And we've just finished our very first year in Reading Pals and are gearing up to do year two. It was a big success for us.
It is certainly serendipitous, if I can use that word, if anyone even knows what that word means, that you're here today, because following some of the action at the Capitol, which is this morning, there was a big emphasis on early learning programs, early literacy, yep, setting aside more state funding to help promote this statewide. And that's exactly where you guys are kind of fitting into this whole thing.
Absolutely. It is really just an urgent need for us right now. 1 in 4 kids do not graduate high school on time. 1 in 4. That's not to say they don't graduate, but they don't graduate as scheduled. And the statistics show that that can get all the way backed up. That identification of who those kids are who aren't going to graduate on time can be identified by third grade reading scores. So you can back all the way up to look at third grade reading scores and then predict high school graduation rates based off of that. So our program, Reading Pals, goes even before that, and we are targeting kindergarten, first, and second graders to try to get them reading on grade level by the time they hit that third grade level, which is really the critical benchmark in their early literacy development.
And it may even predate that. I saw some research that is saying if you are not reading and exposing your child to reading concepts, this whole idea, here's a piece of paper or a screen or something, and there's information on that that you can decode, that you can use, you can turn into spoken words, that sort of thing. By the time they're like 3 or 4, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Absolutely. And you can track that. And that's why we're getting better at tracking that and really being able to pinpoint where these issues are starting and then how to prevent them. And that's really what Reading Pals is. It's essentially a prevention program, hopefully.
Well, we kind of have a doubleheader here on Perspectives today. We're talking about the BEST program, which is financial literacy and tax preparation, all that kind of thing, through the United Way of the Big Bend. R.J. Gillum is in charge of that. She's with us. We also have Courtney Garcia, program coordinator for the Reading Pals Initiative. Since this is Children's Week at the Florida Capitol and statewide, your input too at 414-1234. 800-926-8809 for Perspectives. Welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Tom Flanagan here, along with R.J. Gillum and Courtney Garcia, both from the United Way of the Big Bend, talking about financial literacy and also just plain old-fashioned literacy here this morning, since it is Children's Week, and we're also coming up on the 15th, which is lovely. Full disclosure, BEST program, which is under R.J.'s auspices there with the BEST program, that's called VITA, by the way, which uses very qualified people to prepare taxes. Just wanted to give a little plug because my wife and I, for the first time this year, actually decided to forego a paid tax preparer, and we took advantage of the VITA program, and within 15 minutes, we had that return done. And it took the paid folks usually closer to 45 minutes or an hour, and we do not have a complex return. And it was brilliant. They had all the forms, everything that we needed. If we had to file like estimated tax statements, you know, for the upcoming year and all that, right there, painless. It was great. Thank you.
So glad to hear that. Where you went, I know we talked about this, Tom, is one of our pride and joy sites. We were talking, you know, with Courtney about education and literacy. The site where you went is at Godby High School. We are so proud to have them as a partner because the students that go through the Godby High School Academy of Finance take classes 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and the 12th graders, they get certified. They go through the same training that our other volunteers go through, our college students, our retired people, and these seniors under the guidance of their teachers, they prepare taxes at their site, and they ask to have their own site. This is now the fourth year for that site at Godby. They're one of our highest performing sites. They have the best rate at that site. But we're just grateful because not only can someone like you and your wife go and get your taxes prepared, we are giving these students a valuable skill. You know, they can graduate from high school and put on a resume that they have been tax preparers, you know. So we're excited. Carrie Molinaro, who works with us on that, we've taken her around the state to talk to other United Ways and other groups that do this program about how they can engage their students to be able to do the same thing.
Beyond that, though, talk a little about the whole idea of financial literacy that the BEST program has as really its kind of prime focus or main mission, if you will. I recall when even down at the elementary school level and heading into middle school, the public schools used to have at least a little smattering of, okay, here's how you put together a household budget, and here's how you decide whether a purchase is something that you can live without or something that is kind of important to the household. And you would get those kinds of things. With the way things have fallen out with standardized testing and all those sorts of demands, there's not a lot of time to do that kind of thing. So how do you guys plug in to try to meet that need?
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because most of us, we took something, like you said, in a life skills class or somewhere along the way you learned some of those skills, and our young people today are not getting that. Luckily, there are so many groups that have resources available. We have a financial education committee within the BEST project that decided about a year ago that in addition to providing free adult financial education classes, anyone can call. You all here at WFSU, anyone listening can call and have it for your church or for your place of employment. We'll come out and do it for free. We also do it in the school system now with some young groups. We work with Palmer Monroe Teen Center last year and this year to provide financial education. We're starting to get into the schools and do it for some classes. We'll be doing a class at John Paul Catholic High School. We are working with the Children's Home Society, Department of Children Family Services, Big Bend Community-Based Care to reach a need that most people don't think about, and that's our foster youth. These children become independent livers, you know, at a very young age where they're just given a stipend every month. And if they have not been taught how to manage that money, even though their tuition is paid for in the state of Florida, they don't know how to manage an apartment or utility bill. So we're starting to work with them as well as foster parents over the summer to provide some education so that, you know, most of us adults have learned from our mistakes. We want our young people to know the mistakes before they're made. Don't go off to college and get that credit card. Don't get, you know, something very big right now is student debt load. We have students who are on full scholarships who then go and get student loans to pay for their extras, clothes, shoes, rent, you know, some things they need. But many students are getting more money than they need and coming out of college with the highest student debt load that we've had in years. So we are working we've just been asked this spring to work with FAMU and TCC on some money basics. TCC has a great program they have online and just some snippets on their television show that they provide for their students to teach them these little things. So we look forward to reaching that population so that maybe in 10 and 15 years, we won't see the debt problems that we're seeing now.
Yeah, and student loan debt is one of the few that is not dischargeable in bankruptcy.
Exactly.
It will follow you like a friendly little puppy dog.
Most people think it's good debt, but there's really no such thing. So.
Yeah. Well, Children's Week, Courtney Garcia, and the whole emphasis here is on how to help kids have a better shot at a productive and a happy and a healthy adulthood and all that. What part really does literacy play in that today?
Well, literacy is huge. I mean, it's really the foundation of all we do. They say that you are learning to read up to third grade, but you are reading to learn beyond that. So if you haven't been taught how to read or know how to read up to third grade, well, then you can't read the history books. You can't read the word math problem. You can't read the signs, you know, in the stores. You can't read your tax form and understand that. I mean, it really is the building blocks for everything that then follows you in life, and it really is how we function day to day. You're reading signs, you're reading instructions, and that really goes back to the basics.
Is there more of a challenge perhaps today than there had been in the past, because so much of the communication we're getting is screen based, and if it's our phones, it's an abbreviated version. There is a special kind of shorthand that we use when we're doing tweets and emails and that sort of thing that is not perhaps the king or the queen's English or the proper syntax and punctuation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, times are changing. The digital age is very much upon us, but very important as well. I mean, Nooks, Kindles, you can read books on these devices. That is perfectly fine. In fact, yesterday at the Capitol, I was sitting in on Education Day at the Capitol, and Griffin Middle School did a big presentation about all the technology that they have there. And the teachers are actually saying that it's actually improved the kids' writing in some ways, because even though they're typing, they can actually see auto-spelling correct and grammar correct right there in front of them. So now you're actually getting a visual fix to their spelling errors, and they're actually seeing that technology is helping in these areas. So, you know, it's not the queen's, you know, language, the queen's book, but we have to adapt with the changes. And I don't think by any means technology is bad. And in many ways, we can use it to help us, even with literacy, absolutely, and reading.
If you're just tuning into Perspectives here, we have R.J. Gillum from the United Way of the Big Bend. She's in charge of the BEST program, their financial literacy, tax preparation, a whole plethora of other services. And also Courtney Garcia, who is with the Reading Pals Initiative. And your input, of course, is always welcome via a lot of those electronic methodologies we just talked about. 414-1234, local phone number. It's 800-926-8809. As long distance perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, and our Twitter handle is at WFSU Perspective, singular, because it is a singular program, or at least we like to think it is. So we'd love to hear from you. Back to the financial literacy part of it, though, RJ. Now, you used to work in the CFO's office, too, as I recall.
I did.
So you got to see this from a very high level right now. How much does individual financial literacy, you think, maybe contribute or not to some of the financial problems that we're even seeing at the governmental level, where people somehow have now become, I guess, kind of more comfortable than they used to be with, you know, vast debt loads and that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. We hear about, you know, multi-trillion dollar indebtedness and budgets out of whack, and we kind of go, yeah, fine, whatever.
I was lucky to be introduced to this whole work when CFO Alex Sink ran for office. One of the things she campaigned on was financial literacy. And then when she got in office, we discovered that the legislature had 2 years earlier created a statewide financial literacy council, which is a big deal for them to think that this is so important. We need people all across the state working on it. And there are just so many factors. You know, someone could be extremely wealthy but have horrible financial management or money management, or not even know what's going on with their money. And there are just so many tools. We think about, say, for instance, we work with people here at a local agency level who may or may not, you know, have made a mistake in life. Maybe they went to prison or to jail, but now they want to be a business owner. And they have gotten education, maybe even gotten some workforce training to start their own business. But they are financially illiterate. So you start this, what could be a successful business, you don't know how to keep up with your receipts or your tax records, or you don't know how to make sure that your assets are more than your liabilities. So we see it on every level. CFO Sink used to tell a story. You know, she had a 30-year career in banking, and when her daughter was a freshman in college, she got these notices almost every week that her daughter was overdraft on her bank account. And she said, how in the world you know, Lexi, did you let this happen? I've been a banker. And she's like, Mom, you never taught me about that. And she's like, you know, it's like the cobbler whose children don't have shoes. So it's really important that as adults, we impart this knowledge to kids. We make it fun. You know, when you have little kids, let them help you count out the change at Publix or give them an allowance. That's a good thing because that will teach them how to budget their money. Give them a piggy bank. It's little things like that that'll bring in some values and teach them when they do get old enough to get a credit card that maybe you have one so that you can start establishing credit, but you don't get in trouble with it. And if parents or adults don't have good habits, then how can we expect our children to have good habits? So that whole education piece of it and the individual responsibility is really important because it takes years to clean up your financial mistakes.
Yeah, particularly now since everything is predicated on having a good credit score.
Yes. And, you know, we tell our young people now, I mean, I'm kind of lucky because I made some mistakes when I was in college. Before it was Macy's, we had Burdine's here. I had a credit card with a $500 limit. And when I graduated from college, I owed Burdine's $3,000. That doesn't make sense. How did someone with a $500 limit end up owing $3,000? It's because I only paid the minimum and I let it rack up and, you know, the interest just built and built. So you have to be very careful about that. Everyone needs to be diligent, pay attention. We were talking about technology a minute ago. Technology is important. You can go right online and check your bank statements and even deposit checks. All of that stuff is just very important.
Yeah, and a lot of good instruction that's available online, too.
How
to set up a household budget and how to stay within your means and all that kind of thing.
There are resources everywhere available. A lot of our banks, we get a lot of funding from the Bank of America Foundation, from Wells Fargo Foundation, and they all have excellent curriculum for children, for young people, for adults, for people wanting to start a business. If you look out there, there's always a free resource for you.
The people resource, though, when it comes to the program, Courtney Garcia, that you have here with the Reading Pals, for anybody who thinks, you know, gosh, I hear about all this, the fact that so many kids have kind of fallen behind, that we have the high dropout rate that we talked about earlier, and I'd really kind of like to make a difference, but it sounds like such a huge commitment, and I really don't know what to do, and if I got into it, what would I say, and all that kind of thing. Can you kind of allay their fears there?
Absolutely. And, you know, I just need to plug our wonderful community because the community really stepped up to our call last year. I mean, 200 volunteers to make this commitment is no small feat, and we surpassed that goal. So the people in our community are amazing, and they are out there, and they want to make a difference. And to ease any of those fears for folks who don't have an education background or I don't have kids, I love reading to kids, but I don't have kids of my own, so what would I do? We actually tailor-made the curriculum for the Reading Pals program through Leon County Schools, and they actually made this curriculum to be turnkey. So it really is for the people. You know, Reading Pals is one-to-one reading for 1 hour a week for the school year. So for 25 weeks, you're reading to the same child 1 hour a week. And so it's made for those people who are retired who want to do it, or for people who have a love of kids who want to read, or for the business folks who one hour a week, they're allowed to leave their place of business at 4 o'clock to get to the school by 4:30 and do a reading. We actually had so many business folks that were our volunteers. And so for them, the last thing we wanted them to do was to be busy and stressed all day at work and think, oh, shoot, I left that book I wanted to read on my kitchen island at home. Well, I'm just not going to go. I've already had a rough day. I'm not prepared. It's easier for me not to go. We did not want that to happen. And so the curriculum is actually what we call a turnkey curriculum. So for an hour, your time is divided. Get there. Welcome the student. How was their day? Tell them something about you to start to build that relationship. And then the next 5 minutes, you know, read this book. Then we also say, read the book again. And on page 2, ask this question. And on page 5, ask this question, because we also know interacting with a child as you read helps with literacy skills. When you're now making it be a talking point, you're not just reading the words, but you're actually asking them questions about it, making sure they're understanding what they're hearing. After you read the book, let's play a game. You know, we've got frog publication games and flashcards. Who knows a kindergarten who's going to sit still for, you know, an hour? That's not going to happen. happen. And so we've built in different activities to retain the child's attention span, but to also keep it fun and fresh and to fill in those gaps for the volunteers who are thinking, what am I going to do with a kid for an hour? So we've built in games and flashcards and communications and reading for that, to address those issues so that it's not a concern of the volunteers. And then in addition to the curriculum, every child gets to take home a book every single week. So of these kids in the program, by the end of the school year, we have now given them 25 books to add to their at-home library. And so at the end of that hour, then the volunteer gets to read that book and then gets to say, and you get to keep this. And you should just see the children's faces light up when they realize, I don't have to give it back. No, go ahead, write your name on it. It's yours. And just the sheer delight. And sometimes it's their very first book that they've ever owned personally.
I know that we are in a community that worships metrics and outcomes and facts and figures and all that. So what does your program do? What actually can you put your finger on and say, okay, it did this?
Great question. We just finished our very first year, so we're actually in the process of pulling that data. Leon County Schools is doing did a pre- and a post-test on all of these children. So we've got a pre-test on how they tested in their reading assessments in the beginning of the year. And then they'll be taking a post-test, which we will get the data from and analyze. In addition, we also track their attendance records. So who was involved with the program for the full 25 weeks, who due to absence really participated 12 to 15 weeks of that program. But we hope to see through the assessments that their reading scores increased. Obviously, there's a whole host of other factors that are involved, not just reading PALS. I mean, it's the classroom teacher who's with them every single day. It's the family support at home. If reading at night before bed is a factor, or if no reading at night is kind of what they go home to. So there's a whole host of variables. But certainly the fact that a child has one-on-one reading for an extended period of time doesn't hurt in any way. Anecdotally, the teachers and the site coordinators and the parents have come up to us and just shared stories. Mostly about confidence. Just the kids who never raised their hand in class 4 weeks into the program are now raising their hands to answer questions. And that really is a measure for us.
Courtney Garcia with the Reading Pals Initiative through the United Way, the Big Band, and R.J. Gillum also here with us from the United Way with the BEST program. More to come on Perspectives. Boy, what a cosmic convergence of circumstances we have here coming up on the April 15th federal income tax filing deadline. Also, Children's Week at the Florida Capitol. If you've never seen that, you really need to do it. Just 1 year. Just find a parking place somewhere downtown. I know how hard that is during session. But go on into the Florida Capitol and go to the upstairs rotunda. That's the one between like the third and the fourth floor. And check out that huge sort of oval rotunda area that is hung with thousands of little cutout hands in these glorious colors, you know, just representing kids. And there's no way you can leave that building without feeling that somebody really, really cares for the children of Florida. And let's face it, coming off of the 08 recession, and still we are not totally out of the woods yet, there are an awful lot of families, a lot of children who remain in really dire straits right now. And it's programs like we're talking about this morning with the BEST program and the Reading Pals Initiative and all that are also helping make a difference on any number of levels. So R.J. Gillum, here back to the BEST program. And if someone's just joining us right now, let's talk again about VITA, having your taxes filled out, because some people I know are just going, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go there. And the last minute, they know they have to. You can help.
Our VITA program, VITA stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. This is our ninth year doing this in our community. And one thing I didn't mention before, Tom, is we have calculated that as of last year's tax season, we have more than a $25 million impact through Just Vita. And the way we calculate that is the amount of money in refunds that are returned to the people in the Big Bend, which hopefully they then save first, but then also spend on those things that they really need. We multiply that by the amount of money that you're saving. The IRS gives an average of $150 for tax preparation. So over 8 years, we have a $25 million economic impact in this area through this program. So easy to do. We train volunteers to be able to do your taxes. And for those who qualify, you come to any one of our centers that you can get the locations for through 211 and get your taxes done for free. And our hope is that you're saving some money. We have a great number of people in our community that don't apply for something called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It is known as the highest anti-poverty program for our federal government, but we leave millions of dollars on the table every year. So the difference between our program and other pay preparers is that our volunteers are trained to look for certain things. You know, we ask questions that they may not ask somewhere else. If you come in, we may ask you, what's your occupation? Are you a teacher? Well, here's a whole list of things you may not know you can deduct. You know, how many out-of-pocket expenses do our teachers have? Our students, we want them to know all the credits that they apply for. So that is a very specialized part of our training for the volunteers, because our whole goal is to put more money into the pockets, not just to do your taxes for you, but to make sure you're getting all that you are eligible for.
In our instance, and again, full disclosure, my wife and I took advantage of the program this year from a journalistic aspect to check it out, but also because I'd heard so many good things about it from other people who had the Vita folks prepare their taxes. And I thought, well, let's just see. Give you guys a chance to see what happened. Our preparer asked, did you have any Energy Star purchases in the course of the last year? I had never heard that from any other preparer that we had ever dealt with. And indeed we had, and it saved us hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, the software we use actually has prompts so that the volunteers, even if they forget from training, they know to ask, because, again, our goal is to put more money in your pocket, because we know that that's going to help not just our community and our economy, but also help you and your individual family. You know, we see primarily retired people. We see a lot of single parents, and we see a lot of students. And, you know, these are usually people that are on a single income and are just trying to make ends meet. So saving them $150 or bumping their return up really helps a lot. I got a beautiful note from a lady the other day who works in the healthcare community here, who's a single mother of two teenage boys who makes, she says, plenty to take care of her family, but it's been her dream to start her jewelry business for years. And she's just never been able to do it. And this year, not only did she get her taxes done, we were able to refer her and get her two prior year taxes looked at. She was owed more money than she received. So with this year plus the past 2 years, she got a bump, and she's now started her business, which she says is going to help her save a little bit more money for her son for college. Because although she says she can take care of him now, he knows that if he does not get a scholarship, he's probably not going to be able to go to college. So kind of, you know, gave me goosebumps just thinking we're doing a service in the community that we hope means a lot to people, and we're able to see that that is the case.
To follow up on that, RJ, in that particular instance of the lady that you just mentioned there, does the BEST program also provide any kind of resources for folks who maybe want to strike out on their own? Since, let's face it, in this community particularly, we're not going to see a huge resurgence of state government employment anytime mm-hmm. soon. And so for folks who may be thinking, gosh, I'm no longer working for Department of Children and Families, maybe I should start my own little business. Can you guys help there too?
Yes, we have not started this as a class yet, but one of the curriculum we provide is through the FDIC. It's called Money Smart. We've always just done their basic adult financial education. Well, they also now have a youth financial curriculum, and they have what they're calling a small business curriculum. So we're looking at now testing and seeing if that's something that's going to be a need here, working with, you know, the small business center mentors at TCC and FAMU if this is something they're interested in. Because, again, you were speaking with Courtney about volunteers. All of our programs, for not just us but also our agencies, basically rely on volunteers. We are able to do more than 4,000 taxes through volunteers. When we do these classes, it's not me doing them, and I'm the only staff in our program. It's volunteers, people who maybe your day job is at BB&T or Wells Fargo or, you know, anywhere, but then you volunteer your time in the evenings or on Saturdays to teach this class to women who are at Refuge House. So we're looking at whether or not that would be something, the small business curriculum would be something that people would be interested in. And again, it would be free, just like all the others.
Okay. Courtney Garcia, while we're talking here about some things that RJ's group are looking at advancing into, what about Reading Pals? I imagine there are a million different ways you guys could go to expand the program, offer new kinds of services. What are you looking at now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what was interesting about the grant initially, I mentioned that the Barnetts funded 10 United Ways in the state of Florida. The great thing about it is actually all 10 of those United Ways got to develop the program that would work best for their community. And so it wasn't a prescribed program in any way. Carolyn Barney Barnett said, look, we want to make a difference, but you know Leon County. You know your community. You tell us what will work for you. And so that's when we started working with our good friends over at Leon County Schools and developed the program I've talked about today, the one-on-one reading every week for 25 weeks, bringing a book home every week to the home that the child gets to keep, that sort of thing. Last year, we were in 10 schools. They are identified as Title I schools, so the need is there, the priority, the focus of those schools is there. And then, yes, there's always room for expansion. In fact, we're in those discussions right now, how to expand for year two. We will be expanding to more schools in Leon County as well as into another county, one of our other eight counties as under United Way. And so there's always expansion. And then, of course, there are kids who need help with reading that aren't in the Title I schools. I mean, there are always kids who need additional reading help. So we're just starting where we can, and every year we can get bigger and bigger and bigger and just reach more and more kids because the need is there.
Yeah, fueled by those, 200 volunteers that you had this for the initial year and serving about how many kids?
We read to about 175 children.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those aren't the only kids, as you intimated, that need that help.
Absolutely.
We're talking thousands.
Thousands. Yep.
So
right here in our community, not thousands. I mean, there's thousands in the state, but there's thousands right here that we pass, you know, at the grocery store that we, you know, when we drop our kids off at school, the car in front of us has a struggling reader inside. This is our community.
And we just need more folks to connect with that just for 1 hour a week for 25 weeks.
You got it.
That's nothing. That's not even a full work week.
Yeah, not at all. Reading Pals is a fantastic thing for those that can make that 25-week commitment. We also understand it's not always feasible for folks to make that commitment. So we also have another early literacy program, Read United, that will actually happen in May, the very first week in May. And that's where we, again, recruit our community volunteers who are just amazing. And they go out and they read to every single first-grade classroom in the Big Bend. So all eight of our counties, we're talking over 300 classrooms. And they read a book to those kids, and then they give every single child a brand new book. And so obviously that's not the same 25 weeks one-to-one, but it's, again, another resource for these kids in our community. And this reaches all eight counties, and that happens the first week of May, May 6th through May 10th.
Oh, my gosh. So you're talking a lot of classrooms then.
Over 300 classrooms. We recruit over 100 volunteers, and we pass out over 4,400 books in eight counties all within that 1 week. It's a pretty amazing thing that we do in a very short number of days that reaches hundreds, 4,400 kids. I mean, thousands, yeah.
And you also integrate, I think, with some other things, too. Before you folks came in here this morning, our own Kim Kelling Engstrom dropped by my office and said, well, okay, who are you going to have on today? And I said, well, we got RJ and Courtney Garcia. I said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, you know, we've been working together because we have the Raising Readers program here, and it's been kind of interfacing with a lot of what you guys are doing,
yep,
too.
Absolutely. Kim's been fantastic, as have all of our partners at WFSU. We're also You know, the summer gap is real. When school ends, learning should not stop. And unfortunately, for some kids, it does. I mean, they actually, there's data that shows that they regress months. And so we have partnered again with WFSU and Leon County Schools and United Way of the Big Bend to offer Super Y summer reading camps. And we did it last year. WFSU has been doing it for countless years now, as well as Leon County Schools. United Way came on board last year and again committed this year. And that's where we can really identify those kids that are going into kindergartner. So those rising kindergartners, and really focus a 3-week intensive work with them. And of course, it's based around Super Y, and any parent out there knows Super Y, and they're the reading superheroes and the powers to read and the power of the alphabet and rhyming. And it's just a fun learning environment for these kids that is really starting to help them before they enter kindergarten. So really starting to help them get off on that right foot before they enter really the school system for the first time.
You know, RJ, Courtney just brought up something that maybe would be helpful for the best program at the lower levels of age that you're, you know, trying to reach, is maybe, you know, some financial superheroes or something, some cartoon characters.
That's actually a great idea. One of our biggest partners is the University of Florida Extension Offices. So we have that in every county. And we work with them. They have 4-H Money Camp. So, you know, it's kind of hard to make money, learning about money fun, but they just do an excellent job with it. We worked with them not this summer, but last summer, where our high school students from Godby worked over the summer, and they were the camp counselors for Money Camp. So, you know, we just, like Courtney said earlier, we have to find ways to reinvent ourselves and use technology. And we believe that when you teach them while they're young, you know, that kind of thing is going to stay with them, whether it's regular literacy or financial literacy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just flashing off of, you know, Zach and the Character Center.
You know, oh, yes,
you
yes.
Have that, you know, a real pig who turns into a piggy banker.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm just –
You just got to make it fun. And kids are engaged. I mean – you can teach them, but you make it fun for them, and you know, you're almost fooling them into the education, you know, whatever works. It's fun for them. You could have your camp counselors dress up like Albert and Alberta.
Yes.
I have
quite
extension.
A collection of piggy banks. We use those, so that's
cute. This kind of reminds me of something that a smaller community, I think it was in Massachusetts, did, where there was a lot of concern about things like failing schools and all that. And there was a, you know, huge voucher movement. I mean, you know, and this is, people are legitimately concerned about deficiencies in education. But the entire community got together to try to plug those gaps, to fill those deficiencies. And volunteers came in to help out the local school system and turn things completely around. Test scores went berserk. Kids were having a lot more fun. There was less of a pushback to teachers. Discipline problems went down. And that's what this whole thing is starting to sound very much like.
That is exactly how these two initiatives got started. These initiatives are owned by United Way of the Big Bend, and that's exactly what happened. We kind of looked around and identified where some gaps in the community might be, and where issues weren't being addressed, and then figured out how United Way could be part of that solution. So we saw that in financial literacy, financial initiatives, and then again, BEST has been around a lot longer than Reading Pals. But we had some good wins with the BEST, and then, you know, a few years later looked around and realized, you know, there's a bit of a gap in our early literacy in our community, and how can United Way be that solution? And that's exactly how these two initiatives were born.
I'm not speaking for what may lie ahead in the future, but RJ, from your angle, anything else that you see United Way potentially? We got to ask Heather Mitchell, of course, who's the big boss here, and to find out what she thinks of all this stuff. But other areas that United Way might at some point jump into.
Right. Well, we just by the nature of our programs, we're all about collaborative. You know, you said the key word earlier, outcomes. We were fortunate, you were saying that the recession, you know, we're seeing the uptick now. For the first year in about 3 years, we've met our campaign goal. And the reason these kind of programs exist is because, number one, they're supposed to supplement and help the agencies we work for. We don't want to do anything for them, but they're all part of coming to the table with us. You know, we go to Kids Incorporated and do taxes for parents and the employees there as well. So anything, a lot of this, the way these were born, were kind of organically out of not just our human services leaders coming to the table, but other people, business leaders, people that give us money Heather and our board have asked people, what are the priorities to you in the community? And overwhelmingly, we always hear about education and our graduation rates. I think our program was born out of the economy. You know, you're seeing people who've never, ever had a problem with their finances who are now having to learn how to manage. So a lot of it depends on the times. You know, right now, this is the focus. The focus is on working with this early literacy because it's huge. And for us, our focus maybe internally is changing from adult financial education. Now we're more focused on youth financial education and helping these students with the student debt load, because that is what we're hearing about now. That's the big deal. So it's kind of hard to say. Usually it kind of grows organically from what we see the community need is here.
Yeah, but in the interim, my gosh, what a need both of these programs are filling right here in the community, particularly hitting kids as young as you possibly can to get them on the right start, because it's a lot harder to go in when someone's past their 20s or 30s and get this situation turned around
right.
than if you can hit them even before kindergarten.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And it also reminds us of something else, too, that this is all made possible, of course, by contributions at your place of work or directly from you to the United Way of the Big Bend. Otherwise, this stuff does not happen.
That's right. We are so grateful. You know, just like we have tons of volunteers all from the business community, from state government, you know, people who are retired, people who work from home, we also get donations from them as well. So
we're living united.
That's right.
RJ Gillum, Courtney Garcia, thank you for coming
thank
today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank
Perspectives.
You.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee, Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls in the booth today. And I'm Tom Flanagan. We're going to be talking art next week. Hope you can join us then on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.